Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox, and coming up on today's show, you need some fantasy football advice? Well, we've got you covered. Frank Amarante from The Game Day joins the show to give us all the tips that you need to nail your NFL draft. Plus, we'll talk about some of our favorite storylines heading into the 2022 season. And of course, I will give you my Mox Locks. But before we get started, I think we should talk about the Mox Thought of the Day. Let's take a look at some of the most popular offensive player props at Caesars, and they're all unders. Number one, Titans wide receiver Treylon Burks under receiving yards, open at 805.5. Now that's down to 725.5. Eagles running back Miles Sanders under rushing touchdowns. That line has stayed at 5.5. And you've got the Bears wideout Darnell Mooney under receiving yards, open at 1,105, and now is 950.5. So which one of those player props should you take? This isn't exactly the best value here. It's at minus 175, but I like Miles Sanders under the 5.5 rushing touchdowns. It's a contract year for him, so he's got to put up really big. However, he is injury prone. He's missed 9 games over the last 2 seasons. Injuries have included his hamstring, his ankle, knee sprain, and a broken hand. Sanders' career average is 5.1 touchdowns per season, but Sanders ran for 0 touchdowns in the 2021 season. The running back is currently sidelined with a hamstring injury in training camp. He can't stay healthy. He's going to also lose a lot of opportunities now with the dual threat quarterback Jalen Hurts. Of course, Jalen Hurts was there last season as well, but he rushed for 10 touchdowns in 2021. That's why I'm going to take Miles Sanders here under 5.5 rushing touchdowns.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. All right, it's time to talk some fantasy football and welcome in the Game Day's fantasy football writer and expert, my friend, Frank Amarante. Frank, how's it going?
What's going on? Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be on the show.
Oh, I see you were just in Canton too. How was that?
Oh, it was a blast. Got to meet all people from Twitter I've interacted with over the last 2 years. I feel like I made some friendships, not just, you know, connections. Like it was honestly, the vibes were off the charts.
Ah, I love it when the vibes are off the charts. All right. So let's talk overall strategy for fantasy football. The drafts are beginning. So let's talk about your overall strategy. What is the best approach and what are some of the best tips that you give on how to draft?
Okay, so the first thing I would say is that you want to go in with your guys, like your must targets, and you want to look at average draft position. You don't want to deviate too far from there. Like you may reach a little bit, a few picks past their ADP, but you don't want to go like 2 rounds. You still want to stay relatively close to there. So use that as a baseline. That's one strategy. Another tip is to wait on your RB2 because it's the most replaceable position in fantasy football because you're able to find later round picks there who, through injury or through poor performance from the starter or for the way they've played well, maybe they could take the job and then they're your new RB2. Just look at last season.
Right.
Elijah Mitchell, you could have got him for nothing.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Of your 49ers there. Rashad Penny down the stretch, you picked him off free agents and he tore it up. So you don't want to be reaching on RB2. And there's a certain pocket of running backs that are really, we call them landmines. You want to avoid those. And those are like the ones who are, those are the type of players who they're a bit higher because of past production and perceived role, but they may have a different role this year. Like say David Montgomery in Chicago, we've heard talk that, you know, the new coaching staff wants to use a bit more of a committee, use some Khalil Herbert. So even Josh Jacobs in Vegas, I know he's in a great offense, but Josh McDaniels as coach, he may scale back Jacobs' touches. So those types of players are going in like the fifth round. And instead of taking those, you can take either, you know, a top tier quarterback or a solid receiver.
How do you feel about mock drafts? Is that something that you feel like people should be doing just to kind of see the cadence of what could potentially happen? Or do you just kind of go into it with your picks? You don't feel the need to do that?
Yeah, mock drafts are really good, especially if you use if you do them on the platform in which your league is on, because every league, platform has different average draft positions. So if you're using the one, like say you have a league on Yahoo, you use Yahoo as mock drafts because people are drafting according to their list, and it gives you a better sense of you know, where you will have to take your player. Like let's say you wanted Allen Robinson and you realize, okay, you know what, I have to take him in the fourth round, and you learn that through mock drafts. So it's definitely a helpful tool.
Okay, so let's take a look at your top 10 now. So at number one, you got Justin Jefferson, wide receiver for the Vikings. Number two, Christian McCaffrey, running back for the Panthers. Then you got Jonathan Taylor, my favorite running back from the Colts. Jamar Chase, wide receiver from the Bengals. Number five, Cooper Kupp, wide receiver from the Rams. Then you got Saquon Barkley at number six with the Giants. Stephon Diggs with the Bills. Dalvin Cook, running back, Vikings. Austin Eckler with the Chargers. And rounding it out with Alvin Kamara with the Saints. Explain your top 10 here to me.
Okay, let's start off with Justin Jefferson. Gets an upgrade in the coaching staff with Kevin O'Connell, who just comes over from the Rams. You know, he helped Cooper Kupp have that absurd season last year, and he's going to be moving Justin Jefferson all around the formation, give him those layup targets, easy, just pad those stats. And I even saw a quote Justin Jefferson had said. He would be watching Cooper Kupp. He's like, how's this guy always wide open? And he's like, oh, now I get it. Now that he's in that scheme. So I think as a young superstar in his own right, now getting a scheme that's more tailored to his strengths, I think he's just going to go off. I know it's bold putting him first overall. Traditionally, there's a running back that goes there. But based on what it looks like for Jefferson and the fact that, you know, running back is more of a injury risk position. You got that security with the wide receiver who's less likely to get hurt. And you still got huge upside with Jefferson in the new scheme. Going on to number two, Christian McCaffrey. I know he's missed a chunk of time the last two seasons, huge. But the fact is he's healthy now. And, you know, I know past injuries, you know, it's more likely that he's injured again, but it's not always the case like that. If he's healthy now, You just target that upside, because when he plays, he gets fed. He's an asset in the receiving game. He just produces at a level that no other running back or even player does. So, and by all accounts, he looks great in camp. So I'm putting him as my RB1. Going on to number three, Jonathan Taylor. I love Jonathan Taylor.
Love
He's
him.
A special runner. But the thing is, a lot of people play now in half or full PPR, points per reception leagues. And Jonathan Taylor is limited in the passing game. Not that he's limited. It's just that he doesn't have the same upside as, say, Christian McCaffrey. And, you know, Nyheim Hines is there to take away some of those targets.
Let's just get into it about Saquon Barkley, because you have him pretty high on your list. So why have you bought into this hype? For me, he's injury prone. First, there was a sprained ankle in 2019, then an ACL tear in 2020. And then most recently, he was sidelined for another ankle injury last season. He had just 593 yards and two rushing touchdowns in 2021. Why are you high on Saquon Barkley this year?
Okay, so the first part we'll touch on is the injury prone, which you're absolutely right. He's dealt with his fair share of injuries. But what we want to do a lot of time with fantasy football is we want to swing for the fence. We want to think of what the upside on that player is if things break right and he stays healthy. And if Barkley can stay healthy, he has as much upside as maybe any running back aside from, say, Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey, just because of how much of a beast he is in the passing game. So one thing I'm going to touch on is let's look at his career. 2018 as a rookie, finished as the second overall running back. The next year is a bit more disappointing, but he still finished as running back 7. We look at the 2020, tore his ACL in week 2, so we give him a pass for that. Just bad luck. Last year, he comes off the torn ACL. He deals with more injuries. He's plagued by poor play calling, and he has a really bad season. But now you look at the situation there. They got rid of Joe Judge and Jason Garrett. They bring in Brian Daboll, who helped Josh Allen really take the next leap as a passer. I think it'll be an improved offense. I think Saquon Barkley is going to be the absolute focal point there, because there's no clear-cut wide receiver one or even a high-end tight end there. They're going to just be feeding Saquon Barkley. And I think Daboll is the type of coach that realizes, hey, like, who his best weapons are, and that he needs to feature them prominently. And also the fact that their offensive line, while still questionable, you know, they still drafted Evan Neal with a high first rounder. The tackle was one of the more highly touted in the class. So we could see some improvement there. And by all reports, he's healthy now. It's similar to McCaffrey. Like, he's fully healthy now. It's all systems go. So I'm going to take an optimistic outlook in thinking that maybe he could maintain that health over the course of the season. I know it's really high on him, but I'm just really bullish on what's in store.
Well, I'm not super high on Danny Dimes, especially what I saw in that first preseason game. I wouldn't be surprised if Tyrod Taylor comes out as the QB1 at some point during the season if Danny Dimes can't seem to get it together. Do you think that would be better or worse for Saquon?
That's the one thing that I would not like that. And the reason being, I wouldn't like, even though I share your concerns about Danny Dimes, it's just that scrambling quarterbacks who run a lot at a high, like, not just like run here and there, like, right, they're running often. They don't pass it to the running back as much. So that would really diminish a great deal of the appeal I have regarding Saquon Barkley, because it's mostly about those check down passes where he can go to work after the catch, why I like him. So no, I absolutely don't want that to happen. So that's the one major concern too that I would have. Yeah.
Okay, major concern. Well, let's take a look at the quarterbacks now. Who are your top picks, for the QB spot?
All right. Well, one who I really like is Joe Burrow, just because last year, coming off the torn ACL, number one. Number two, having such a porous offensive line, the coaching staff recognized we need to kind of, you know, limit the pat, like, don't let him drop back as often early on, because we don't want him to get hurt again. And then we saw down the stretch when, you know, he probably started to feel more comfortable on his knee, they started to pass at a higher rate. And what happened? He just shredded opposing defenses. Like, think back to that game against the Ravens at the end of the year, against the Chiefs. And then he had a great playoff run. So this is a quarterback heading into his third season. He looks like a true franchise passer. And, you know, look at his supporting cast. The receivers are unbelievable. The offensive line has been improved. They made additions there. So you could argue that he has the best supporting cast in the NFL. And look at his, even coming off the torn ACL last year, look at this efficiency he showed.
Oh,
I found a stat from Stathead. So there have been 5 quarterbacks in NFL history who have put up at least 8.9 yards per attempt, and they had at least 500 pass attempts. These quarterbacks were Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Dan Marino, and Deshaun Watson. And Burrow and Watson were the only two of that group who even had a 70% completion rate. So that's pretty impressive, coming off the torn ACL, being only his second year in the league. You have to be intrigued what he can do now fully healthy and you know the coaching staff loosening the reins on him. So I really like Burrow.
Upgraded their O-line.
Yeah.
They finally, you know, invested in their O-line, upgraded that. He should have more protection and not go for a record-breaking amount of sacks this year, which I think plays very well into the storyline.
Who else I like on the higher end? I like Justin Herbert. You know, he's heading into his third season. From a fantasy standpoint, he's finished as quarterback 7 and quarterback 2. I mean, your first 2 years, you're doing that. Highly impressive. He's got great weapons. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler. And he runs a bit, even in the red zone. So you could really see him take off. So those are the two that are within the top 8 that I'm really looking at.
Well, I love Justin Herbert, and I've talked about it a lot on this show. I think the kid is a stud. I think he is due for a very big year. He threw for 5,014 passing yards last season, behind only Tom Brady, the GOAT. He also had 38 passing touchdowns, which was the third most in the NFL. Do you think that he has another 5,000-yard passing season?
He definitely can. Like, it's just a combination of talent, supporting cast, and a coach that is willing to allow him to just chuck it downfield and go for it on fourth downs quite often. So you like that aggressive play calling. So it's a perfect storm for Herbert, really. So I think absolutely can.
All right, well, I'm going to hit you with this Steph Curry night-night here. Who are your sleepers for the quarterback position?
All right, so one of the sleepers is Trevor Lawrence, because coming out of college, you know, he was widely considered as a generational quarterback prospect. He was the consensus first overall pick for a while. And I think we got to give him a mulligan, give him a pass on year one, just because it was the worst. Yeah, like a golf term there. Just because Urban Meyer, let's face it, it was not a good environment there. Like, he was not putting Trevor Lawrence in a position to succeed. There was drama all across the team.
He wasn't putting any of his players in a position to succeed. He was a terrible hire.
Exactly. It was a disaster. So it's not an environment conducive to success for a rookie passer, even when as highly touted as Lawrence. So we go into year two now. He gets Doug Peterson, Super Bowl winning coach, really helped Carson Wentz in his rookie year. He's great with quarterbacks. Way more likely to put him in a position to succeed. They improved their supporting cast. I know they overpaid Christian Kirk, but he's still a good receiver. I know a lot of people don't like Evan Ingram, but he's still an athletic tight end that can get downfield. And then he gets Travis Etienne back, who's a weapon both as a runner and through the air. So I think Lawrence is a nice sleeper. He goes outside the top 15 quarterbacks. We could see a big year two leap. Similar to maybe, say, Jared Goff. Remember year one with Jeff Fisher? He had a horrible rookie season. Then year two, he gets a significant upgrade at coach with Sean McVay, and you see how much he improved. So I think we could see that from Lawrence.
And then he gets kicked out for Matthew Stafford.
Then he gets shipped out. Yeah. Then he started to struggle after. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Which is the best thing, honestly, that the Rams did. Okay, well, let's take a look at running backs right now. Most people, I assume, are looking at people like Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, or even Najee Harris with the Steelers, but not you, Frank. Who are your top picks for running back this year?
I didn't include Saquon Barkley because he's my top pick, and he's a higher-end one that goes in the first two rounds. So I wanted to touch on two that go like around round 6 and round 7. And the first one, I'm very vocal about him on Twitter. If you follow me, it's Rashad Penny, just because of how unbelievable of a stretch he had down the season, unbelievable run he had down the stretch. Yeah, I'll throw out a few stats here. So there were 5 running backs who rushed for 135 or more yards more than once last year: Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, and Rashad Penny. Penny did it 4 times, which was second most behind Taylor. Penny did it over 5 games. Like, that's insane. You look at another stat I have here. Since 1990, from Stathead, there have been 7 running backs to run for average at least 6 yards per carry on over 100 attempts and with at least 700 rushing yards: Jamal Charles, Barry Sanders, Adrian Peterson, Alvin Kamara, DJ Spiller, J.K. Dobbins, but Rashad Penny. And he rushed for 671 yards in his last 5 games. I know the Seahawks quarterback situation is among the worst in the league. I know you know that well as a division rival fan.
I'm so excited about it. I mean, to have no Russell Wilson in the NFC West is probably the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for the 49ers outlook for sure. But they're going to, you know, run the ball at a high rate. And I know they drafted Kenneth Walker, but the plans are for Penny to be the 1A. And Walker's dealing with a hernia injury that could make him miss, you know, week one. I just think Penny's a special runner that can overcome situations of, like, poor quarterback play. And, hey, Drew Lock, I hope Drew Lock wins a job just because he's younger and there might be we know what Geno Smith is. He's just a competent backup. But look at Locke. Look at the supporting cast. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Noah Fant. And they helped out the offensive line by drafting Charles Cross in the top 10 tackle. So I really like Rashad Penny as a, you know, he goes in the mid rounds.
So I hear you on why you're picking these guys. But, you know, when you look at someone like Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, why are you passing up on those guys? You just feel like there's such a stronger upside to maybe not picking these ones that everybody is super interested in?
No, it's not. I understand exactly the appeal with those players. I'm not going to really even disagree if you go that route. It's just that the way I'm drafting is in the first round, I'm basically looking at either taking Justin Jefferson if I have a top three pick, Jamar Chase if it's 4 or 5, or Stephon Diggs if it's like in the middle sections,
so you're or receivers. You're,
yeah,
I know. I know that was part of your analysis earlier was to kind of wait for the running backs. I feel like a lot of people, their first pick is a running back. So you're saying that's not always the best strategy to wait a little bit longer for that.
Yeah, well, it could work out for you. It depends which players you like, because a big reason that I'm not taking one in the first round, in addition to that, is because I like a lot of the second round running backs. I like DeAndre Swift. I like Saquon Barkley. So if I'm taking, let's say, Barkley at the end of the first round, I'm looking at receiver in the second round because I don't want to go running back.
Okay, yeah. I understand. Yeah. That makes sense. All right, what about some sleepers for running back? Anybody you like?
All right, so sleepers, I'm going to dig deeper here. This is in deeper leagues. The first one, Isaiah. Like, you're going to...
We're like going deep into the ocean.
Well, these players could still help our fantasy football players who are in, you know, the traditional 12-team league. This will be like at the end of your draft, like second last round. One of them, Isaiah Pacheco of the Kansas City Chiefs, the rookie. He's making waves in camp. I know CEH is there, but we've seen that they've had a lack of trust in really giving him a full load. And you just every day on Twitter, you scroll, you hear about this kid making an impact. So he's a nice dart throw, just taking a shot. Really, the cost is extremely low. And a lot of respected players in the industry are really pushing up his average draft position and taking him a bit higher. Just because, hey, if he becomes like even in a committee, the Chiefs are still going to score a lot of points. That's really an asset. Yes. He could emerge, especially down later in the season. Another one later in drafts that we can look at is Zamir White of the Las Vegas Raiders. As I mentioned earlier, they may want to lean more into a committee. And what if White, you know, supplants Josh Jacobs as the lead runner there? Going to be a good offense. There's some touchdown upside, and he's virtually free. So the opportunity cost is really low. You're not really passing on like a high-end player at that stage in the draft, so it makes sense to target a sleeper like that.
What about someone like Trey Sermon? Obviously, the run game for the 49ers has always been a priority for a Kyle Shanahan-led offense. Elijah Mitchell, who's their RB1, he's out for the preseason with a hamstring injury. Sermon carried the ball 6 times in the preseason opener versus the Packers. Is this someone that you could see as a sleeper or you might want to look into?
Yeah, you definitely can, because as you mentioned, you know, Kyle Shanahan, he changes his mind like the wind with these running backs. Like, it's all like,
they run so much. We end up getting a lot of injuries. So we got to, you know, go back to the well.
But even like last year, week one, everyone's thinking Raheem Mostert goes down, Trey Sermon's going to come in because he was drafted higher than Elijah Mitchell. And then he goes to Elijah Mitchell. So it could, you never know. Maybe Sermon regains the trust of the coaching staff and he can take some carries. If Mitchell's dealt with injuries last year, maybe he can't carry a full load. So I would not disagree with that pick. There's also, you know, the rookie they drafted, Tyrion Davis-Price, in I believe the fourth round, who's another option. But as Sermon is absolutely a really late round target, you can go after, just because, like I said, and like you mentioned, you know, the running back in that offense is such a coveted player in fantasy, because it's so good for the running game, Kyle Shanahan's scheme. So for sure.
All right. So we're going to talk about wideouts now. Now, I know that wideouts are very important to you, and that's who you're going to specifically go for in the first round. Also, we've already heard your top 10. You're looking at Jefferson and probably Ja'Marr Chase as your top wide receivers. Obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, but who are some sleepers that you're looking at as well?
One is Curtis Samuel of my Washington Commanders. I'm a fan of them, unfortunately.
Okay. Interesting.
No bias here. No bias here. It's just that he's only 1 year removed from finishing as wide receiver 25 in PPR points per game out of players that played at least 10 games. So he has production under his belt, and he's still only 26. And because he was injured for basically all of last year, he goes really late. So you can just take a shot on him. Hey, maybe he gets healthy this year. Maybe he can help out your team as like a bye week filler. Another one you can look at, I know he's not signed yet, but you have to think at some point he will be, is Will Fuller. You can get him super late as well. Last we saw him, we're going to throw out the year with Miami. When he was with Houston, you know, he put up a huge numbers as the number one. I'd love to see, even though, okay, I wouldn't love it from a fan perspective because I hate the Cowboys, but from fantasy, I would love to see Fuller. I would love to see Fuller there, just because there's a wide opening at wide receiver two with Michael Gallup hurt and, you know, Amari Cooper leaving. So those are two real sleepers to look at wide receiver.
What about someone like Elijah Moore with the Jets? Cool. Obviously, he's had some issues with injuries, but there was a stretch of six games last year. I believe it was week 8 through 13 that resulted in the fourth highest fantasy output for wide receivers with PPR formats, 113.4 points. It's his second year in. Is this maybe someone that you might consider?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely love Elijah Moore. Like you mentioned, he had that brief stretch where he just went off. You look at advanced metrics. He's great at beating man coverage. He's just, his talent pops off the screen. I know they drafted Garrett Wilson, but Wilson's a rookie. We've been spoiled by Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. It takes time for these players. So, yes. You know, Moore can definitely be the number one there. In fact, I think he will be, at least for this year. You can get him in the mid rounds, like seventh round, which is just rock solid. Even he could fall in certain leagues because people are concerned, you know, about Zach Wilson. He wasn't good as a rookie, and now he's dealing with injuries. You got Joe Flacco coming in. But, hey, Flacco might even help Elijah Moore just because he's more polished as a passer and he can run the offense a little bit. You know, Wilson has more of the upside, but he could be erratic. So totally on board with you there. Love Elijah Moore.
All right. Well, let's talk tight ends. What do you like? You like Kelsey? You like Waller? Who are some big tight ends?
Well, Waller is okay. I do like the thing with Kittle. I'll just briefly say is that it's not like I won't rank him as tight end four, like in the top four. I'll still rank him there. It's just that the price at that price, I'm looking elsewhere. But to move on to who I like, I love Kyle Pitts just because he's just a generational tight end, and he really, you know, 1,000 yards in his rookie season, that's unheard of for tight ends. They usually take time to get going. He's like a receiver. He's like a Calvin Johnson at tight end. And we see a lot of times we see year two leaps out of these types of highly touted players. I know Marcus Mariota is there, and that's a concern, quarterback play. But I think Mariota, with a change of scenery, finally getting a chance again to be a starter, he can, you know, be competent. And I think it's just betting on talent with Pitts there. So that's one who I'm really trying to get in the third round of my drafts.
All right. What are some sleepers for tight end? It's a tricky position because, like you said, there's the great ones and then there's everybody else. There isn't a whole lot of middle ground tight ends.
Yeah, especially just because the middle ground ones, the opportunity cost is higher. Like if you're taking Dalton Schultz, you could have got Elijah Moore at that cost. I'd rather take Moore, and then you wait later. Right. You could take someone like, you know, take a shot on David Njoku, who's still only 26. Austin Hooper is gone. This is a former first rounder. He's athletic. He's fast. He could emerge as the number two target in the passing game. And he's really flashed in the past. Like, look at last year against the Chargers. He had a game where he caught seven balls for 149 yards and a touchdown. Like, for a tight end, that's pretty crazy. And he put up really efficient numbers. I'll give one quick stat. 1.77 yards per route run. So that means when he is getting routes, he's being really efficient. And the only the tight end company keeps with that stat from last year is George Kittle, Dallas Goedert, Mark Andrews, Rob Gronkowski, Kyle Pitts, Travis Kelce, Darren Waller. So those are high-end names, and it just speaks to his potential. Really like David Njoku for sure.
Okay, so let's talk kickers now. This is always an interesting one to fill out your team. Who are some favorite kickers you have for that spot?
Okay, this one's always tougher for me because personally, I play matchups at kicker, but I'm starting to realize, you know, that might not be the best route to take. I looked at, before coming on the show, the last 2 years, fantasy production from kickers, and one kicker really stands out. That's Daniel Carlson of the Raiders. Back-to-back years finishing in the top five from a fantasy standpoint, and they got Davante Adams now.
He led the league last year in field goals. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's just prolific. I know you may see less field goal opportunities if the offense is more efficient, particularly in the red zone, and adding Davante Adams might help that. But still, they're going to have a good offense, and he's proven himself as a like fantasy asset. So he's a one to look at. Another one, Evan McPherson, you know, put up great numbers last year. Can look at him also. But I will say that you still should always look at your kicker in your last round just because, you know, they could really fall off out of nowhere. You don't want to be paying up for a kicker when you could be drafting one of those sleeper running backs I mentioned, like a Zamir White. You take them and you just take whichever of the best is left for you in the last round.
Right. I also think someone good to look at, maybe Nick Folk with the Patriots. He had the second most field goals in the NFL last season with 36. And then Justin Tucker with the Ravens. It's death taxes and Justin Tucker field goals. I do believe the Ravens are going to be a lot better this year. They're my sleeper for a lot of different things. So I would look at Justin Tucker as well.
Absolutely agree, for sure.
This one, I think, is one of the tougher ones. Defense and special teams. Who are you looking at this season?
All right. So this one I really definitely always play matchups with defense just because you want to take a team that has a high point spread. So they're favored by a lot of points because they're projected to, you know, play with the lead. And when you're playing with the lead, the opposing team has to air it out, which leads to more opportunities for sacks and turnovers. So that's one thing you're really looking at here. And one that I like is the Colts, just because they face the Texans in week one. They're 8-point favorites. We could see some great fantasy production there. And they've done that the last 2 years. They finished, I believe, in the top five in fantasy points per game. So the Colts are one to look at. You can also look at, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. They may be facing a less than 100% Zach Wilson in week one and the Jets. Or they might be facing their old boy Joe Flacco. We could see a bunch of picks there.
Yeah. That's true. Those are two really good defenses as well. Okay, so let's talk about some of these storylines going on in the preseason. We finally have some football to watch, which of course is very exciting. What was some of your reactions to week one?
Okay, so week one, I'm going to focus just on one here that really stands out, that is something that will help you a lot in fantasy. And I think it's just that we're starting to see that the Steelers have done it again at wide receiver. George Pickens looks like a stud. That touchdown catch was nasty. Yeah. And that's a follow-up to just glowing reports out of training camp where they were saying, oh, this guy looks like Randy Moss out there. Obviously, he's not Randy Moss, of course, but he's a big body, can make it down, make plays downfield, and he looked great in week one. So with a team that's so good at drafting receivers, and hey, Pickens was a good prospect. People were surprised he fell. Reports were maybe because of injury concerns or character concerns. But, you know, he looks great, and we've seen them in the past. Of course, Antonio Brown, Deontay Johnson, Juju, the list goes on and on. I think they've done it again, and that's my main reaction to week one.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin never had a losing season with the Steelers, and it's looking promising for him again. Now, what about your favorite storyline heading into the 2022 season? Mine, of course, is Trey Lance, and is he going to live up to the hype? I've said multiple times, I am hopeful. Of course, I love that pass that we saw against the Green Bay Packers, but it was just one pass. He's not up against real defenses yet. He has struggled against the Niners defense, which of course is a very, very tough front, but we'll have to see. That's my favorite storyline. What's yours?
Well, one quick thing. I like Trey Lance. He's, you know, he's got a ton of upside, and it'll be interesting to see how he does. He's surrounded by so much talent and a great play caller. So yeah, I definitely share your interest in that, even though I'm not a 49ers fan. But
a lot of people are really buying into the Trey Lance hype, and I'm a little bit more trepidatious about it. Yeah. I don't know if it's because I'm a fan and I'm too worried to kind of go too deep into it. I still just kind of want to wait and see, because it is technically a rookie season for him. It's the first time he's going to be starting. He only started for two games last year, so you have to expect some mistakes. I don't think he's going to be a lightning rod the entire time right out of the gate.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Moxie Bets is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. The time has come for Mox Locks, where Frank and I give you our best NFL player prop bets for the next season. My first bet is going to be Josh Allen over 4,375.5 regular season passing yards. Is at -115 on Caesars Sportsbook. He threw over this mark last year at 4,407 yards. Yes, he did lose offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. It's his only offensive coordinator since he was drafted, but I don't see a lot of drop off with Ken Dorsey because he's promoted from quarterback coach to offensive coordinator. Allen is a dual threat, so that could be a little bit of a problem here. When you got wide receivers like Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, and even tight end Dawson Knox, you're set up for continued success. The AFC has gotten a little bit tougher this year, particularly on defense, but I expect Allen to throw a lot more in the second half this season than he did. I don't think they're going to be up by double digits going into the second half this season. So I'm taking that over. Frank, what do you think of my guy, Josh Allen?
Oh, I love Josh Allen. They love to air it out. He'll have the volume. He'll have the pass attempts. He's got the weaponry, as you mentioned. I'm not too concerned about the change in coach. So, you know, sky's the limit for him. I'm with you on that one.
All right, let's ride together with that one. Okay, second one, I'm looking at Cam Akers. Under 840.5 total regular season rushing yards is at -115 as well. His Achilles tear kept him out until week 18 of last year. He did make it back for the postseason, but he averages 2.6 yards per carry across four games. He's fully healthy, but the Rams have Darrell Henderson in the mix now, both running backs dealing with soft tissue injuries for the preseason. And I know that McVay usually likes a true RB1-led rush game, so I can see this workload being a little bit more shared this season, though, with Henderson in the mix. And there's too many questions on injuries. That's why I'm going to take him under on his rushing this year. What do you think, Frank?
This one I like even better. I absolutely love this pick. Yeah, I like your Allen one, but I like this one even more. Just because even Cam Akers coming off of the Achilles injury, we haven't really seen running backs come back from that at full effectiveness. And like you mentioned, they might incorporate Daryl Henderson more. Of course, running backs are a high-risk position. They can miss time pretty often. Can we really expect Akers to play all 17 games? That's a hard bet to make. You could see him miss a game here and there. So it's always good to be on the under, especially with a player like this.
Okay, good. I feel so much better about these now. My last pick, I'm taking Joe Mixon with the Bengals over 1,075.5 regular season rushing yards. That's also at minus 115. So Joe Mixon did hit over this mark last season, 1,205 rushing yards in 2021. The Bengals have improved their offensive line, which should make Mixon more effective runner this season. But there, I know there's some fears because they've added two running backs with Chris Evans and Sumaji Pee. I hope I'm saying that correctly. So that could cut down on some of his action. But I do think that, you know, that's only going to affect his receiving yards on third down. They did a lot of those little quick passes. I still think his rushing production should still be the same considering he is a very good, solid QB1. How do you feel about this one? Does it worry you a little bit more because they added those two running backs?
No, I think just he's a good runner and it's a great supporting cast. Those receivers could open up running lanes for him. The offensive line is improved. Despite those running backs you mentioned, you know, Mixon will still be the lead runner and 1,075, you said. Yeah. He'll get his 250 carries. He can get there. Of course, there's a concern if he misses time, but he could probably even pass that number, even if he missed a game or two. So I'm cool with that one. But Akers is my favorite for sure that you have.
All right. Akers is the favorite. That's definitely one we're taking to the books. We're taking that to the window. So, all right, Frank, what are your locks? Number one, who do you like?
One of them that I have here is Matthew Stafford under 4,450.5 passing yards. I know he threw over 4,800 last year, but we know he's dealing with that elbow injury. So they might limit him a little bit throughout the season at times. He might have to miss a game here and there. And looking at the quarterbacks on the board, this was one of the higher numbers, and given the injury risk, I got to go under here.
Look, I'm a card-carrying member of the Rams Hater Club as a 49ers fan, so I love this one, and I also agree with you. I do believe there's going to be a little bit of regression. I mean, the Rams went for broke last season, and they just barely made it to the Super Bowl. I feel like they're going to have a little bit more hiccups this year. I think Matt Stafford, especially with that elbow, is probably going to be running the ball a little bit more. They've got, you know, almost a dual threat there for their back, so I like this under as well, and I'm hopeful for it, Frank. I really am.
All right.
Second pick.
All right, second pick. It's Damian Harris of the Patriots under 800.5 rushing yards. I know he was an efficient runner last year, but talk out of camp is he's maybe getting supplanted by Ramondre Stevenson, who could take over as the lead back. We could see a committee. They even drafted a runner, Pierre Strong. You know, so you want to lean on the under here just because, hey, running back is a risky position with injury, and this is a player who is in a committee and is even now not even the 1A anymore, it looks like. So 800.5 is a pretty high number, and we're going to go with the under here.
All right, I'm going to ride with you on that one as well, especially Mac Jones starting to get a little bit better with his passing arm there, so that might just affect them a little bit. What is your third lock for the season player prop?
All right, third lock, wide receiver Devonta Smith of the Eagles under 850.5 receiving yards. And the reason is simple. It's called they added A.J. Brown, who's just going to dominate targets. Even though I think they'll pass a little more than what we saw in the second half, this is still likely a team that will run at among the highest rates in the NFL. And they have Dallas Goedert, too. So there you have three mouths to feed, three big pieces, one of which is just a monster in A.J. Brown. And we saw Jalen Hurts at times, you know, have iffy chemistry with Smith. So I'm going to lead on the under here. I think Smith will be the number three target in this passing game behind Brown and Goddard.
Wow, that is an interesting pick. I love Devonta Smith. I won the biggest bet of my life on him last year. I bet on him to get a first touchdown. It was his birthday. So I do feel like sometimes when you bet on people on their birthday, it works out well to get a first touchdown. And then it was a double result. So if he got a second one, then they doubled your money, which is exactly what happened. So I love him so much because he's made me so much money. But that's very, very good rationale. All right, thanks. Frank, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Let people know where they can find you, where they can read your articles on the game day, and of course, your social media handles.
All right. So you could follow me on Twitter at FAMMIRANTETFJ. I'm always talking football and other sports, always engaging in debate. And my work is on the game day, right? I'll be writing fantasy football content, rankings. I'll even be doing some other sports as well. You know, I've done baseball, some basketball, just a mix of everything, but a focus on football. And you could check me out there. And it's been a pleasure. I've been a longtime fan of yours, and it's been awesome coming on your show.
Yes, and we will definitely have to have you back. This has been Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Make sure you follow us on social at Moxie Bets, or me at Katie Mox on Twitter and at Katie Mox Bets on Instagram. We will see you on Friday for a special UFC preview. Talk to you soon.